wish you a wonderful good morning. It's my pleasure to contribute to this conference as well. And when I was certain that I would like to participate, I was really wondering, scratching my head, like, okay, what could I offer? And out of all these different things that I had in my mind, I was like, could I speak about whatever, you know, like my experiences in my work in the Middle East, or could it be some case studies or something? And then I thought, no, I want to speak about an overall concept or an overall approach of my work. And the title of my presentation is Midwifing the Emerging Future and the Practice of Life at Work. Life at Work is an initiative that I have created to support organizations to bring humanity back to work. And the title Midwifing came to me when I was thinking about, when I was realizing in the work that I do with development organizations, startups, or social initiatives, where I realized I'm not a moderator. Very often they ask me to come to moderate processes. I'm like, actually, moderation is not the term. I'm not modest or moderate in what I do. I'm playful, colorful, experiential. And then I said, yeah, you're a facilitator. I'm like, a facilitator? Interesting. Am I a facilitator? Facile is French for easy. I mean, like, it's not always easy. Sometimes it's painful. And throughout the years when I was also training facilitators, I actually continued using this metaphor of being a midwife. A midwife who is knowledgeable about a couple of processes that are supportive in giving birth and in the delivery process, while the baby is not mine. Which also makes me work with people working on microfinances, renewable energies, vocational training, whatever. Yeah. So I don't need to be involved in the topic because the people in the room are the experts for this, while I'm there to support with different processes. And something that I find very important for my work is illustrated by a story that I want to share with you. Some of you might have heard it. It comes from Dr. Wayne Dyer, and it is this conversation two babies are having in the womb, where one starts the conversation with the question, do you think that there is life after delivery? And the other one's like, where does this question come from? Of course not. And the person's like, but I have the feeling there is something more, and what we are currently in is actually only preparing us for that. And the other one's like, no, certainly not. I mean, how should this be? You know, I mean, like, where does this idea come from? And the other one's like, I have the impression whatever comes next will be full of light, and maybe we will eat through our mouths, or maybe we will use our feet to walk, and maybe we will use completely different senses. And the other one's like, that's absurd. We are like nourished by this cord, you know, we are connected. I mean, it's far too short to keep us alive after whatever is going to come then. And other senses, walking around, ridiculous. And the first one is, but still, you know, I have the sense there is something more to that than what we currently perceive. And this conversation with them continues. Does this sound familiar for processes that you might also support organizations, clients, or yourself in? I see you nodding. And for me, this story is also showing that it's not about one moment of giving birth. Yeah. Or some people, when we think about death, and think about another Passover, another transition, it sounds like it's as if it's lifetime events. While actually, in my experience, when I think about it, it's a continuous transformation. And when I think about organizations, they go through a lot of butterfly moments where they are changing the way, whatever, the way they are hiring people, the way they are talking with each other, their salary system. So there are a lot of changes going on. Or think about our own lives. Many butterfly moments of transformation where a cycle ends and it almost feels like death, and then another cycle continues. And Joan Macy, she also said that at the current time that we are living in, actually what we need is both. We need hospice workers that are supporting us through this period of something dying, and midwives to support us in this process of giving birth. So what we are experiencing, this great turning, is not only an era of changes, it's actually a change of eras where something closes, like a decrescendo in music when it's getting like more, when music is fading out, and something else is picking up the volume and you have a crescendo. And somehow we happen to be the lucky ones living in this overlapping period of time and having a bit of both, yeah, which is confusing at times. So the development we currently experience, and many of you might have seen this chart before, is from ego, and then Diane Hamilton actually brought back to me this idea of ethno as well, from ego over ethno over echo, to evo, to the evolutionary purpose, and also being aware that at the end of the day, our existence is just like the, whatever, the a glimpse of an eye in this time of humanity on this planet. So this is why I believe the current service that I want to contribute to this world, and obviously many more, is less about moderation or facilitation and a lot more about midwifing. And it is for me important to remind myself of it is that something bigger than us is giving birth to. Yeah? And as I said, we don't know the baby yet, and it's not ours, but we are creating it, we are co-creating it together. And in this kind of times when we do not know what's going to come next, yeah, the huge unknown, yeah, to still be present and to be supportive, and so we are clear about the why. We are not so sure what the what is going to be. But what is grounding me is the how. And my how is inspired by different principles or values or strengths. So my question for you is, when you think about supporting people you are working with, teams, organizations, individuals, in going through transformational processes, what are strengths that you bring in that support them in this process? I just ask you for some popcorn feedback. I will repeat it with the mic so I don't need to run around. So just popcorn it. I say it out loud so it's recorded. And we take it from there. What are strengths, values, principles that you consider important when supporting people in their transformations? Listening. Standing back and just watching. Music. Awareness. Clear goals. Clear goals. Love and understanding. Trust. Vulnerability. I just discovered yesterday when I was writing it, there's ability in vulnerability. I was like, wow, this is interesting. I'm still not done with this, but it was like, whoa, interesting. Yeah. Consistency. Commitment. And patience. Clarity, transparency. So these were just some popcorn ideas of yours. And I think we could continue collecting them for a while. Important for me is that they are all contributing. They are all, for me, they're inspired by the knowledge of this is an important moment in time. We are giving birth to something new. And values or strengths or these kind of principles are like driving my actions. So words that I have also collected here is mindfulness, playfulness. If it's not fun, it doesn't work. Yeah, surrender, possibility, conversations, we had empathy, purpose. I mean, this whole conference is full of purpose. And many more. Peace. So there's a lot of principles that are guiding our actions. And when I looked at this, I figured that at the end of the day, it's really about this whole evolution. And when in Egypt the revolution started, we started writing revolutions with love in the center. So when you look at the word evolution up there, imagine there was a little R in front of it, but there's love in evolution. There's love in revolution, just spelled backwards, which is the direction we read in when we read Arabic. So it came quite handy. So at the end of the day, it's driven by love. And so that's also very important for me. In my work, so when you think about midwifing and giving birth to something new, being inspired and energized by these kind of values or principles or strengths, for me, what I've seen in my work was that there are three entrances. And this is now about working with teams and organizations to contribute more to the future of work or to becoming more teal, to becoming more human. And the basis of these three entrances is always, I'm going to talk you through that. The entrance door is always a power shift. Yeah. So what we heard in the teal track is that it's super important, and Lalu writes about it, super important that the top management or the board of directors are supporting this kind of transformation, this kind of change to become a more human, a more healthy, a purpose-driven organization. And for me, I see three entrance doors. So sometimes I work with teams that are more interested in defining in a large group event, a large conference, in a summit, to co-create together their purpose and their core values, and to see how they can reorganize their work so that they are working in teams differently, and that they also can define more fluid, more granular roles. So it's not, you are not your job descriptions, you can hold and energize different roles. So sometimes I'm more working here in this area of basics, the fundament of a team, of an organization, and we co-create this in all hands-on summits or a series of them. Then, when it's about change in organizations, sometimes I'm also only working in a thematic way. So I'm entering their field and support them in developing another system for this year annual staff assessment. So to do it in a more different, in a more valuable way that I call peer review or peer recognition or peer valuation. So the E of evaluation just fell and disappeared. So it's about the valuation, which could be a process where instead of having a system that is run all over the company and the whole global organization, something that is more tailor-made for myself, where I, as a team member, am defining for myself within the next half a year, I would like to develop myself in these and these areas. And because you are my colleagues, or you are my team leader, someone who is close to me, who can like collect experiences with me and then later provide me with feedback, you are the right ones to support me in my personal growth. So instead of having an all-fits-all universal staff assessment form that everyone has to fill in once a year, and I receive feedback by someone who barely knows me, the idea is that we are providing each other with feedback that is valuable for our development. So this could be a thematic approach. And Or another one, when you think about hiring practices, sometimes they ask me to support in what they call recruitment. And I don't like the term recruitment because it's a military term, like a lot of our management language. Salary is a military term. Headquarter, of course, is general director, officers, all of this. So I'm trying not to use these words. But what I support them in is attracting and selecting new team members and colleagues. So something that I refused 15 years ago when people asked me, would it be okay in an interview to have a future colleague with us in the room to also ask some questions? I refused this harshly. I said, of course not. Yeah, they are going, this is like mixing whatever roles and relations. No, we don't do that. 15 years later now, I'm recommending teams to do this. So to do a peer hiring process where the future colleagues are actually the main involved actors. So people are not hired by an HR department that then sends them on their first day to the department and they are standing lost in the corridor. No one knows them because they were interviewed by their future colleagues. Of course, they are known. So this could be this second thematic entrance door. And the third one is in the center. And now I realize this is, of course, too small for you, and I have it in bigger, because the core of the practices in life at work and something where I see it's like the DNA, like the little atom of a company, is for me in what I call relational governance and integrative techniques. So the idea is to look at how is the power distributed. And how does peer accountability work? If I don't have bosses anymore, if my purpose is the boss, then I need a completely different system that people are accountable for what they do. And my decision-making system needs to be revamped. Yeah? I call it trust-based decision-making, and we're not seeking any more consensus where you have the power of a majority, which is not democratic. But we are looking at consent. How can I deal with objections people have for a proposal? How can I integrate this and make the proposal better? And how can we then find a decision that we, at the end of the day, say, good enough for now, safe enough to try, like in the good of sociocracy philosophy. Then in the core of it is, of course, communication. And I'm very often surprised when I'm working with organizations. They have all of these, they know all these beautiful words, and they talk teal. But they are not communicating it in the way they are dealing with each other, be it in meetings, be it in day-to-day communication, be it in emails. Yeah, very often the language there is very blue with sparkles of red. Yeah, so this is for me at the core as well. Transparent information flow, not just transparency in open books, but also training people. How do I read financial statements? How do I increase my literacy in everything that is related to run an organization? And how do I flow? How do I create a flow of information in my organization? Meeting management. For me, meetings are the smallest unit of cooperation and of social change. So it's like emails, telephone calls, meetings. This is for me like the smallest atom of social change. All of them bring us a little step forward or backward. So the question again is, how do we create productive meetings so that they bring people forward? And important as well, conflict transformation. How do I deal with conflicts? How do we, what kind of conflict culture do we have in the organization? So this core of relational techniques is something that Thiel organizations would train their new team members in right from the start. So additional maybe to the introduction to what do we do as a company, they will introduce them to that's the way we work with each other. Yeah? And all of this is actually dedicated to designing and cultivating the space that is between us. For a very, very long time, we were trying to optimizing one person, optimizing the other, and we thought that they could beautifully work together, which does not always work. Yeah? So how do we cultivate the space between us based on the idea of like midwifing the future, something bigger than us, based on our values, our principles. What do we need to do here communication-wise, conflict-wise, decision-making-wise, meeting-wise? Because relationships matter, corporations and networks matter, so we just zoom it a little bit up as we did in this exercise with Diane Hamilton. And of course, you can like lift it up on a global level because, I mean, now it's becoming boring to say that we're all interconnected, but for some people, this is still news. And so what is relevant is that every little word we say, every little meeting we have, every little decision we take, the way we take it, are all baby steps that are contributing to social change, or they are hindering them. So the picture that came up for me is like, it's like stalagmites or stalactites, or even like fingernails. You don't see them growing, and a week later you're like, oh, I should cut them. So it's they are all contributing to a growth, to a change. Or another model, of course, to come back to our baby twins is like cells. Yeah, everything we do is contributing to giving life and creating life. So for me, it's also not about systems thinking. It's about living systems, sensing, thinking, acting, being, yeah, not only the head. And the last thing that I want to close with, yes, the last thing I want to close with after I like went through the midwifing, the values and strengths, and these relational practices that I consider so important, is a statement by a dear friend of mine, Dr. Henny Shuri. He works on living in oppressed environments, and he coaches on emancipation. And he said something that was like touching a chord in me. He said, you know what? We are not the sum of our parts. We are the product of our interactions. Let this sink in. Not linear, exponential. Yeah, not mechanistic, but human. So thank you very much for your interest.